me see, that's off. So we have finally arrived in Des Moines, just hot-footed it up here from wherever I was. I can't even remember where I was. Fairfield. So I found out that finally got out of Fairfield and found out that there was an Amy Klobuchar event up here in Des Moines. And we're going to go in a second here, but I think I'm in a good spot. I think I'm okay in this spot, so I'm just going to go ahead and shut down Mobile Podcast Command. Turn off all the switches. All right, let me get up. As I get up, let me just say that I do appreciate donations for Mobile Podcast Command, which is basically fuel and maybe snacks for me as I do barnstorming around Iowa. And thank you, Wayne Nelson and Mandy Benz as well. Last couple of contributions. If you want to contribute, I really, really, really appreciate anything that people would send. You can do it with thebobdavispodcast.com by looking for the yellow donate oval. Click on it. I'll take whatever you can give me. I don't have any requirements. Gold ring sponsors of $500 or more get a free trip in Mobile Podcast Command. And believe me, you really don't want that. I can't imagine two people in this thing. So yeah, you can also get the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page of thebobdavispodcast.com by simply clicking on any podcast that you want. You can subscribe to the RSS feed and so forth. Also, Spotify is a new wrinkle. Also, PodMN is an app. Just search for it. You can listen to the podcast on there. That's a bunch of local Minneapolis and St. Paul and Minnesota podcasts, and that's great. Tuned in. Of course, the Granddaddy iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and more. I do appreciate the likes and the shares, but especially the shares on Facebook and Twitter and any other media that you find me on. I'm also on LinkedIn and on YouTube, the Bob Davis Podcasts at YouTube, whatever. Just search the Bob Davis Podcast. You should see them all. All right. Coming along with me on the trip, of course, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, long-term sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. It is getting cold in Iowa, and every time it gets really cold, I start worrying about frozen pipes. This is the time this stuff breaks down. And so, when you have plumbing or heating problems, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for four generations. Here's the number in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And my big thing, the theme that I've been hitting with these Ryan messages on the podcast recently is there's a lot of people that try to do this stuff themselves, especially when it comes to plumbing. Know your limits. And having somebody who really knows what they're doing, fixing stuff, whether it's furnaces or whatever, is safer and better. So don't forget Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com. We'll talk a little bit more about Ryan before the end of the podcast. Yeah, I have my printer with me on this trip. It's in this box back here. There it is. It's in my clothes box, and I have it because you never know when you're going to need a printer. And guess what? I have a print cartridge from Cartridge World because you save so much over the big box stores. 30%, and Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. They give you free delivery on qualifying orders. I'll tell you a secret. If you have a business, you can qualify for a new printer. They will just give it to you. So check them out. Cartridge World in Maple Grove. Metro Wide from Maple Grove. 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. ASMR. Whisper ASMR, which I can't stand. All right. Let's get out of the truck. The bells are ringing here in Des Moines. Let's head out. We're going to walk in here to an Amy Klobuchar event, which is being held at the Botanical Gardens in Des Moines, in the city of Des Moines. The Amy bus has already been pulled up, and I got here just a little bit late. It's like 6:40, and the event is supposed to start at 6:30. So they usually don't start on time, or the candidate is usually not on, you know, up there speaking at the exact time, although sometimes they do. It just depends on the candidate and the organization. But we're going to go on and for me to give you a rundown of Amy Klobuchar and her political situation in Minnesota would be, in a sense, violent political speech and not in keeping with the mission here, which is just to let them tell their story and let you draw your own conclusions. Obviously, the people that come to these events are excited, so here we go.
Midwestern tough and whip smart. I'm sure you've all seen Amy's debate skills so far, right? She lays out her case with ease and skill. She sets the story with real facts. Then she goes in for the close. She prosecutes, she executes, she delivers, and sometimes her opponent doesn't know what hits him. Imagine that on a debate stage with Donald Trump. I will welcome for the next president of the United States, Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Incredible. And I can't tell you what it means to have all of you here to send me off to go back to Washington early tomorrow morning. And I never thought that I would not be able to be here the last week before the caucus. My plan from the very beginning is to go every place, everywhere. It's why I visited all 99 counties in Iowa. Trial, I have had a lot of time to think sitting there. And that's good, that's good. And a lot of time to think about, I sort of sit in the middle of the chamber near my friend Sherrod Brown. And but we sit sort of near the middle of the aisle. So I have a complete view. Where my Republican colleagues, and I watch them, I see how they react to things. And I just keep thinking to myself, you know, we did not run for these jobs to be U.S. senators, to represent America, just so we could, and you know, this is a weird fact you don't know, we could buy our Senate chair at the end to have it in our office. That's not why we did this. We did not run for the job to have the title for life or to have a trophy on our wall. We ran for this office because we're supposed to represent the people of America. And you did not say at the beginning of the founding documents of our country and the Constitution, it doesn't say we the ruling party, it says we the people. And a fair on impeachment. I'm not even actually focused on that as much right now as I am focused on fairness and getting to the truth and getting to the information out. Because if we have a country where things are hidden, then we are no better than other countries that hide things all the time. We are a country that we're supposed to get to the truth. That's what trials are about. That's what this impeachment proceeding is supposed to be about. And if you have checked the news this morning, I have said all week that I want to hear from the people in the room where it happened. And I was on one of the Sunday shows today following one of my Republican colleagues who said, well, the evidence that the House managers put on was circumstantial. I'm like, okay, does that beg the question or what? I don't agree with that, but that means you want to hear the real evidence from the person in the room where it happened. Bolton has a book coming out. Bolton, who actually wants to testify, has a book coming out in which he definitively says the president was holding up that aid. He has said this in the book, holding up the aid. To get the investigation. It says it right there in his book. So I don't know how my Republican colleagues cannot call for witnesses. Senator Romney has called for witnesses. They should all be calling for witnesses. They cannot deny us a fair trial. They cannot deny America a fair trial. So that is why I am going back on the 6 a.m. flight out of Des Moines. But until that 6 a.m. flight, I am going for it. Jokes about the stock market and takes credit for stuff that he didn't do and all that's happening. But meanwhile, there are a lot of people hurting, including people that he promised things to. You know, we've got farmers that are struggling now. 25% increase in farm bankruptcy. We have got closures of biodiesel plants in Crawfordsville. I mentioned at the debate the guy that was the last man standing in that plant who was designated to just stay to maintain the equipment, and he took out a coat rack with all of his former fellow workers' uniforms with their names embroidered, Mark, Derek, Salvador. And he says, these are my friends. These were my coworkers. I don't know if they're ever coming back again. People who are struggling to pay for insulin because this president had promised he was going to do about something about pharmaceuticals. He has done nothing. People that want to see their premiums done, he does nothing but try to repeal the Affordable Care Act. We could go through each economic issue. We know that. But we have to remember there are people watching out there. They see this economic check. They get that. But there are also people that see it a different way. They may not agree with everything we say on the debate stage. I don't agree with everything I hear on the debate stage. But what they do agree with us on, they agree that America has a heart that is bigger than the heart of the guy in the White House. You know there are people there in those counties. Sometimes people stayed home, including in our own fired up base in 2016. Sometimes people voted for other people besides Donald Trump. Sometimes they voted for Donald Trump. But we have to remember that those people are out there. And they see this election, many of them, as a values check. They are tired of having a president where they, even if they voted for him, and they turn on the TV and they have to turn down and mute the volume because they don't want their kids to hear what he's going to say. They see it as a patriotism check, like so many of us do. This is a president that stood next to Vladimir Putin. And when a reporter asked about interference by Russia in our election, he turned to Putin, a ruthless dictator, and made a joke about it. A joke to a guy that basically poisons political dissidents. A joke to a guy that finances groups that took down a plane of innocent people over Ukraine. A joke to a guy that decided to invade Crimea and thousands of Ukrainians have died trying to defend their country and their democracy. He makes a joke. And when I saw that, I thought, hundreds of thousands of Americans have lost their lives on the battlefield standing up for our democracy and democracies around the world. That's what World War II is about. When I was in Waterloo today, I heard about those five Sullivan brothers. They lost their lives standing up for our democracies. Four little girls at the height of the civil rights movement in that church in Birmingham, Alabama, they lost their lives, innocent, simply because they were trying to be a part of this democracy. People were fighting for them to expand that democracy, and other people were trying to push it away from them. So many of the great moments and the worst moments in our country have been about our democracy. They have been about our Constitution. And this guy turns to Vladimir Putin and makes a joke about it. So when you look at all the reasons people are going to turn out and people are going to vote, don't you forget that this is not just an economic check. It is also a dignity check, a decency check. It is a patriotism check. And so my profound advice after all of that is we better not screw this up.
Just want to say a couple of things. First of all, these politicians go on and on and on, and so I have to take what they say and edit it down, and so I hope it is faithful to what the Senator Klobuchar would want, because you can't take a podcast of a 45 or a minute or an hour and a half long speech is just not worth listening to. This way you can listen to a speech in 20 minutes or whatever, and you can get a sense of what she was talking about, and that's what is really, really important. And this is also a great opportunity for me to say that if you are thinking about adding on to your house, if you're thinking about redoing your basement, if you're thinking about a new kitchen, but especially the bigger projects, you want to make plans for doing that now. And I'm going to give you the name of a contractor to talk to. That's Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders. Again, his customers rave about what he does. The main thing that Randy does is he is there with you every step of the way, a very solid guy and a great craftsman. Randy Grabo, let me give you the number for Whitetail Builders in Andover, or you can check them out at whitetailbuildersinc.com or click on the Whitetail banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Randy is ready to talk to you about whatever you want to do, loves talking about it, and loves talking to people about what they want to do. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams.
I think we can build this big, big coalition. Because if you want to eat by a victory at 4 in the morning, that's great. That'll be sweet. But that state that we eat by at 4 a.m., I can tell you it won't be Iowa if that's how this goes. I want to win big. I believe in my heart, if we put the right candidate in charge of this ticket, we can win Iowa. We can send this do this. Well, the first I mentioned already, it's understanding where people are coming from. The second is by thinking about how we, when we're talking to people you know, how we talk about Donald Trump. Yeah, he's a bully. He goes after people of color. He goes after immigrants. He tries to create wedges in any way he can. That's not leadership. But when I went on this tour a few months ago to the states that did not vote for our ticket in 2016, but then came roaring back in 2018. And if you don't think we can win the Midwest, I have four words for you. Former Governor Scott Walker. Yeah. Yeah. In these states, if you are given opportunity from someone, whether it's a parent or a grandparent, whether it's someone at work, whether it's a teacher, that you go into the world not with a sense of entitlement, like this guy. You go into the world with a sense of opportunity, a sense of obligation, an obligation to lift people up instead of tearing them down, an obligation to help people that need the help the most instead of hoarding it for yourself. Granddaughter of an iron ore miner, as the daughter of a union teacher and a newspaper man, as the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate from the state of Minnesota, and a candidate for president of the United States. About that old story about FDR. When he died, they put his body on a train, and they took that car with his body through America. And there's a story of a reporter that was standing by the tracks, and there was a guy, regular guy, had his hat off, standing there by the train, and he's sobbing. And the reporter says to the guy, "Excuse me, did you know President Roosevelt? Did you know him?" And the guy says, "No, I didn't know the president, but he knew me."
Wow.
That is what's missing in the White House right now. We are going to build a beautiful blue wall of Democratic votes around these states, and we are going to make Donald Trump pay for it. I am a practical progressive, right? I am a practical progressive, and so I believe we need to be practical about this and not blow the whole thing up. When you come to troubled waters, we know this, in states that have a lot of water and rivers, we tend to want to build a bridge over it instead of blowing one up. That is why I believe we need to build on the Affordable Care Act. You do that, you bring the premiums down with the nonprofit public option, something Barack Obama wanted to do from the very beginning. Give you a sense of what's gone on, because all this can sound like gobbledygook. There are two pharma lobbyists for every member of Congress. They think they own Washington, and they do, but they don't own me. If you look, we can bring in less expensive drugs from other countries. In Minnesota, we can see Canada from our porch, and we see less expensive drugs. We can do that.
And we have gotten Republican votes for this in the past, and I know this. I have passed over 100 bills as a lead Democrat, more than anyone running for president. Mental health, opioids. For me, this is personal. My dad struggled with alcoholism his whole life. By the time my husband and I got married, he had 3 DWIs. And on that third one, the judge said, you gotta choose treatment or jail. And he chose treatment, and it changed his life. And in his words, he was pursued by grace. Because of the treatment, because of his family, because of his friends, because of his faith. I think everyone should have that same right. And that means things like, and my plan is a big one, it means taking that opioid money that's going to come in from, and it's going to be a big legal settlement. And by the way, it's a good time to have a lawyer as president. Who's been in the private sector, because it's going to be like that tobacco settlement, but we have to make sure that the money goes out to where it should go. Okay, other challenges. Matching our education system with the jobs that are out there now. On the debate stage in Des Moines, I said to my colleagues, my friendly colleagues, I said, you know what, I actually think you guys aren't thinking big enough. Because I know some of these things all look nice on a bumper sticker, but if you really think big, then you say to yourself, how can we match our education system with our economy instead of just giving like free college for all? Let's look at this step back a little. We are gonna have over 70,000 openings for electricians. We are not gonna have a shortage of sports marketing degrees or MBAs. We are going to have, We are going to have, there's always one. Going to have a shortage of plumbers. That is true. So how do we match all this up? Well, we put money into K through 12. We make 1 and 2 year degrees free, including apprenticeships. So we support union apprenticeships, which are a great way of getting people into some really good jobs. We take the 4 year degrees. There's gonna be a lot of openings for jobs with 4 year degrees. And we double the Pell Grants. That means goes from $6,000 to $12,000 a year, double the income level to $50,000 to $100,000 that you can apply for those Pell Grants. It'll make it so much better. They can be used in public and private schools. And then you have a much better situation because you're looking at it as what's our economy. And you respect the dignity of work. So for those home healthcare workers, I would take part of the Mar-a-Lago when he went down there and celebrated that tax bill and said to all his friends down at Mar-a-Lago, he said, this is true, I can't wait, this is Exhibit A. He said, you just got a lot richer. Was anyone there? I don't want to embarrass anyone. Anyone from Iowa was there, but I don't want to embarrass you, but if you look at that money that was in that tax bill and you put it into things like child care so that those people who want to go, that we need to go into home health care workers, have a good wage, that they've got child care, that they got things, that's where I want to put the money. You allow students to refinance their student loans, if millionaires can refinance their yachts, maybe we could do that. And then you look at that loan payback program that's in place. I wouldn't just do this in the first 100 days. I would do it in the first 100 seconds. That would be fire Betsy DeVos. Day one, getting back into the International Climate Change Agreement. Nicaragua and Syria were the only countries not in it. Now they are in it. Doing the clean power rules, something that President Obama had negotiated over years. Bringing back the gas mileage standards that would save money for people that, again, President Obama had negotiated over years. And the whole idea here is to make this work as well for people, for our economy, because immigrants don't diminish America, they are America. I am the one that has won every single race, every place, every time, all the way down to fourth grade. back when my slogan, which I have since discarded, was all the way with Amy Kay. I am the one that in that last election flipped 42 counties that Donald Trump had won. Minnesota, which is now held by a Republican congressman every single time, 3 times in a row. The district that borders North and South Dakota, every single time, 3 times in a row. Northern Minnesota, where the steelworkers are, every single time. And yes, every single time, Michelle Bachmann's district. I have. this person deserves a ticket out of Iowa to be able to go forward. And I'm asking you to do that for me. Thank you very much.
Remember, as it gets cold and you start running a stream of water in your basement, or you start to worry about frozen pipes, or you have problems, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Reliable, quality service for business or home. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Also, got to thank Depot Store for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Mark Korn, happy birthday, Mark Korn, 47 these days. And Depot Store is a great American manufacturer. They do design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com, DEPOTSTAR.com in Ramsey, Minnesota. Happy birthday, Mark. And thanks again, Depot Store. Thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 896. From here, it is on to Iowa State University where the heck is Iowa State University? I always get confused between Iowa State and the University of Iowa, which is in Iowa City, but we're not going to Iowa City. We're going to Ames. That's where we're going. We're going next to Ames for a Tom Steyer event in Podcast 897. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, live with Amy Klobuchar in Des Moines, Podcast 896. So I'm here to tell you that Amy Klobuchar's magnificent Prevost coach, Paul Wellstone, could only dream of. But, because he had that giant school bus. I don't blame her, though. I would have a Prevost coach, too, for sure. The bus tour is alive and well. It's going to go right out to the airport, but that's all right.
I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, into this thing. The deeper I go, the more knowledge I know what to sing, what to bring. What? I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deeper, deeper, deeper into the vibe. What? Chilling in the corner at the shelter all by myself, checking it out. I'm not dancing no more, but why? Why? Supposed to vibe around the fake ones, the ones that say they know what is what, but they don't know what is what. They just strut. What the fuck? What? I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deeper into this thing, and I pretend that they're not there. I just stare up in the booth at the dreadlocks.